Wednesday. It is Jim Furno, the Burlington City Manager, joining us today. We're talking about basically city business today. We'll talk about anything and everything regarding the city. I guess what the number one issue is the budget. Has the budget been locked and sealed, or is it still sitting to be or waiting to be, I guess, what, final?
So we've had multiple steps that have occurred so far. The council held several special meetings, I think about six, where we had special sessions talking about the budget during the month of January. We set a public hearing and held that and approved the proposed levy for this next year, maintaining the existing levies, which would, I can't remember the dollar amount that was shown in that notice. Because it only, I mean, it's a special thing that we knew this legislative or this session. The legislature last year passed a bill that required us to do two hearings, one to talk about any changes, or actually even if we're going to maintain the existing levy, we have to have a public hearing on that process. The council held it. They based it off of what they were looking for after going through their special budget meetings. They were pretty happy with or satisfied with what they're looking for the upcoming year, essentially maintaining our existing level of services, looking at the projected projects that we're looking to do, and having one evidence tech position in the police department going from half-time to full-time. The levy that was approved at the hearing at the beginning of February, second meeting in February, allows us to have the revenues necessary to make that happen, and their expectation is as we go into our public hearing on the budget at the next regular council meeting on the 16th, absent anything coming up, everything is in place to approve the budget as they had tentatively accepted it at the end of January. So no, it's not done. During the public hearing process, and even going up to it, people are certainly going to make comments, their opinions be heard to the council, and you could see modifications. But nothing could be done that's a higher expenditure than what is in the budget. The only thing they can do is decrease.
Okay, basically,
from now.
Yeah, but balance it has to. It's done. It's sealed.
It's not done and sealed.
It is nearly done. How about that?
It's at a level that they're satisfied with, but the public input can have a change in that. What it can't do is get them to spend more than what they have.
Right. That's what I expressed at this point. Yeah. The bottom line is the bottom line. Is in other words what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. They can manipulate things within the budget, but not within.
Only to decrease expenditures.
Okay. All right. Well then, so public hearings. What would be a public hearing? What they'd have to if they wanted to add something, they would have to decrease from some other place. Is that right? No, they couldn't do that.
You've already set your maximum to be spent, and they have to do that by category. The state wants to know, for example, you publish what you're going to spend for emergency services. You cannot now spend more for emergency services or public safety than what was in the original. Or what was in the published notice. You can't spend more for community development than what was in the original budget. You can't spend more on capital.
Okay, you can spend less, but you can't spend
more.
Okay, so public hearings could only be, basically the only thing, that a result of a public hearing would be to decrease spending.
Correct.
Okay, I've got it. Okay, in other words, the bottom line really is the bottom line, right?
Well, it's a max. That's the max authorized spending.
Okay.
And that's really kind of what the council has to do, is provide notice to the public of the maximum they could potentially be spending in these different areas.
Okay. In terms of long-range plans, this is for the budget for – this is the budget that goes into effect on July 1st of this year. Is that right?
Correct. For our fiscal year runs July 1 to June 30th.
Okay. So the property taxes I'll be paying at the end of March are actually for last year's budget, right? Or I guess we're current
for the current year's
the
budget.
Current fiscal year, is that
yep.
right? Okay. Okay, and actually the city is not the largest. I believe the school is still the largest taxing body, isn't it?
I'm not sure which of us is. We're pretty close. We're pretty even between us. We may be larger than the school district.
Okay, but regardless.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, so you both take a big chunk of whatever the money is that's left.
Correct.
Okay. All right, and as you look at the budget, is there anything that is different? Anything, any spending issues that are different than where we have been?
So, again, in terms of ongoing day-to-day services, the only change that was approved by the council was to take within the police department, we have a part-time evidence tech or evidence clerk that runs our evidence room. It's a maximum of, it's been a maximum of 29 hours allowed. That will become a full-time position. And it's just that was one of the areas where we knew that we had a crimp on in regards to having the ability for that position to do everything that was necessary in the evidence room. We've had other officers who have put time in there too. This is trying to get alleviate officers that could be on the street from having to do that in order to allow the evidence room to flow better with one person. Other than that, our operations will continue as they currently are. Capital projects is really where the flexibility has been, and the main ones that we have coming up for this year are going to be the flood wall extension.
Which is the second phase.
The second phase of the flood wall, tying off at the north and south ends of the existing flood wall that was done a couple of years ago across the short line railroad tracks. We should be seeing some public hearings on that over the course. Well, for the financing, we've already done some of the steps to get financing in place for that. But we should see bid lettings, plan specs, and then bid lettings occur over the next couple of months for that. And then the Main Street project is central that we're looking to bond for. And we're in the process of starting to get plans and specs in line for that, too.
Tiger Grant, will that be affecting anything this year?
Not in this calendar year. We'll see. We'll have bids taken this calendar year, hopefully. but construction is not supposed to occur till next year.
And some of the Tiger Grant money is also at Riverfront Improvements, is that
correct?
Right?
It's Jefferson Street, Main Street corridors are about a third each of the Tiger Grant, and then the other third is the riverfront improvements, changing the way the southern docks are, some of the parking areas. One of the thoughts is, well, splash pad, a shade structure, a little seating area on the east side of the
amphitheater,
on the east side of the auditorium.
It'd be a fairly small amphitheater.
Correct.
Because it would be on the east side. It would be between the auditorium and the riverfront. Is that right?
Yeah, we didn't want it to extend into the river.
Well, that'd
we
be
felt
a good,
that might be a little wet.
That would be a very good thing. Yes. Okay. But in terms of this, the ability to, as I said, contain the river, this will go all the way from where it'll go all the way to the lift station. Is that right?
Yeah, it's on the north side of the port. You know, with the flood wall now is you can see where it is on the north side of the port. It'll extend straight east west across. Or straight west from there across the short line railroad tracks and tie into the on-ramp to 34.
Well, now, will this be a similar situation as to what we have now where we have the removable panels?
Correct. You'll have portions of that that's in the grass area where you'll have a wall that's about 4 foot high that you can put the panels above it. The areas that cross the parking lot there, you would do panels all the way to the ground.
And does this continue all the way to the lift station then or not?
And so we've already gone down to the south end, south of the auditorium, about even with the lift station. It has to that southern portion going from the where we terminated near the restroom facility that's down there in the lift station. We'll go south around those two structures and go, you know, west over across the short line railroad tracks on that end,
so
too.
So from the south, you will be basically protecting all of the Memorial Auditorium. To the north, you will also be protecting all of the port building. Is that correct?
Correct. And, you know, for, you know, we had a presentation. Nick McGregor did a presentation this last week, and one of the things he talked about, what's for us, what's the most important thing that we're getting protected here, and it is the lift station. The other structures are important too, but the lift station services about two-thirds of the community, the stormwater and solid or sanitary sewer flows through that lift station to the sewer plant. When that is threatened or endangered, as we saw last year, it causes havoc for our downtown businesses. And anyone who's flushing anywhere, not in anywhere in town, but a good section of town, when last year that was ending up in the basements of some of the local businesses.
So now, if you protected the lift station, do you use HESCO barriers then to protect the area beyond that to the downtown or the downtown area?
Yeah, we'll still be using HESCOs, and you know, we still have two phases of this project to go. One will be pumping stations or pumping, yeah, facilities to, if you have any water that is on the land side of the flood wall, to be able to pump it over, especially important if you have a heavy rain event while the flood wall is up. And then there will be another phase that does extend the temporary flood wall that we're constructing farther west along, what street is that? It's not Front Street. What's on the south side of Millard?
South side of Millard, that would be, okay.
it's just not coming to me at the moment.
Main to Front Street is basically the
running
north
west.
And south. You're talking about east and west?
Farther west.
Okay.
And we will cross Main Street and go about another block.
Okay.
Still on the north side of BNSF's tracks. We're not providing full protection for the downtown. Now that core, though, we are. But south of the tracks, we're not providing protection.
What about the depot itself?
It'll have to have a separate project that's done with it.
Okay.
We don't have a cost estimate really put together on it. I imagine as we move through these phases, we'll have to figure out what exactly we're going to do with that.
As you move through the phases, how much to the north is actually going to be protected?
No farther north than just the north side of the port building. Again, this was, we were awarded $26.2 million to do the section that we're doing. To protect, for example, farther south and fully protect BNSF's rail yard area all the way down to the sewer plant, that was about another $10 million project. To do farther north, going up to the marina, I don't know that we ballparked that to $45 million total plus. We never put a cost estimate to it because the funding wasn't there. Suffice it to say, it would double the cost of the project to try to provide protection all the way along that waterfront. It'd be nice to be able to do, but we don't have outside funding to assist with it, and it just makes it practically impossible to find the financial wherewithal to make it happen.
And this project should be done when? When do you anticipate it being done?
This next phase, you know, we're hoping to go into construction in probably around July 1, give or take. It should be a this calendar year project. The next couple of phases are about 4 years total, and
there's usually a year between the phases, right?
Yep, and the second of those, the last phase will also include protection down at the sewer plant, which is really going to drive the cost of that final project to get that protection done.
All right, lift station is basically what is it? That's the What does the lift station do for those people? And I'm confused myself, right, because so, I think of the sewer system. And
well, you think about how sewer typically runs. If you have a pipe in the ground that the sewer sanitary sewer is running through, it runs by gravity. It
right.
floats downhill. Well, eventually you run out of downhill and you still have a distance to go. So you use a lift station to typically lift it up to a higher height. And then if you can, you still have a gravity. Sometimes you will have, and I'm not even sure on that pipe, if that's a force main, that it just pushes it straight through by pressure, or if it flows by gravity. I think that might be force main, but that is one that I haven't really had to worry about. But there isn't any height difference from that lift station to the sewer plant, so it might be a force main.
Okay, so the lift station keeps it up, and then it goes to the sewer plant for its processing.
Correct.
Is that right? Okay. All right, we're talking with Jim Furno. We're going to take a break for news. We've got more, and again, anything you've got on your mind, any questions for the city manager, are welcome and appreciated today. 754-1490. We've got more to talk about right after this.
The third-seeded Iowa Hawkeye women open up Big Ten tournament play Friday night on KBUR. Join Rob Brooks for all the action. Brought to you by Case Bank Community Credit Union, the Boogaloo at Fun City at Pizzazz, Barn Grover Glass, and by Courtesy Door. It's Iowa Hawkeye women's quarterfinal Big Ten tournament action Friday night at 7:30 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR and KBUR.com.
Today on Hey Culligan, softer equals better. Here's a tweet from Ed Itchy in Idaho. Hey Culligan, my laundry is so scratchy, I just cut myself on a cable knit sweater. Any suggestions? Hashtag send help. Hey Ed Itchy in Idaho, yes, the Culligan High Efficiency Water Softener will make that thing so soft it'll go from cable knit to cable knot. Itchy. Hashtag soft laundry. Hashtag already on the way. Let us help you out with the free in-home water test with a local Culligan water expert at heyculligan.com.
It's time for some straight talk. It's tax refund time, and the big wireless companies play a game where they lure you in with a phone deal that locks you into a pricey contract. Don't play. With Straight Talk Wireless, get a Samsung Galaxy A10e for just $99, all on America's best networks for up to half the cost. No contract. Make that tax time money win all year long. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See straighttalk.com.
Battery power made by steel. From trimmers and mowers to chainsaws and blowers, steel battery tools are exactly what you need to tackle your to-do list. Whether you need to maintain your yard or completely transform your landscape, battery power made by steel. Steel is not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot, always at a local steel dealer. Real steel. Find yours at steeldealers.com. Lowe's and the Home Depot are trademarks of their respective companies.
Of the two certainties in life, let's focus on taxes for a moment. Our family-owned tax business has succeeded by giving families just like yours the best refunds plus the lowest filing fees. Families have been trusting us not for 2 or 3 years, but 2 or 3 generations. Henry Tax and Accounting charges you by the forms required, which means you only pay for what you need, unlike the national preparers. Get the best refund. Henry Tax and Accounting in fabulous Carmen, Illinois. Find us on Facebook. We'll fill your pockets, not stretch them.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now a look at today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. Stanley Baldwin was found guilty of willful injury Tuesday morning in the beating death of a Burlington resident. Baldwin, one of four people police say were involved in the March 2019 beating death of Burlington resident Edward Eddie Brewer, faces up to 10 years in prison. His trial began last week at the Van Buren County Courthouse in Keosauqua. The Burlington Beacon reports that Baldwin denied involvement in the crime and decided to represent himself, dismissing his publicly appointed defense attorney last year. Baldwin petitioned to have the proceedings moved out of Burlington so he could get a fair trial, given how well-known Brewer was in the city. A sentencing hearing is expected to be held within the next few weeks. Voters in the Fort Madison School District have voted to approve a levy for community school district improvements. In a special election for the measure held on Tuesday, the unofficial election results show that voters approved the levy by a vote of 734 to 339. The vote establishes an annual levy of $1.34 for every $1,000 of assessed valuation of taxable property for a period of 10 years. Two Central Iowa schools were locked down Tuesday after someone reported spotting a suspicious person near one of them. Superintendent Janet Stutz of the Grinnell District says that the district office was notified around 8:40 a.m. that the person was seen outside the high school, not far from a K-2 elementary school. Both schools locked the doors, and students and teachers were told to remain in their classrooms. Stutz says it took until around 9:30 a.m. before the person was found somewhere other than inside the school. It's unclear where. A written statement from Grinnell Police Chief Dennis Riley confirms Stutz's description of the events. Felons would be required to pay restitution to victims before they could get their voting right restored under a bill passed by the Iowa Senate. Earlier Tuesday, Governor Kim Reynolds for the first time indicated support for the measure. Iowa is the only state that automatically takes felon voting rights away. Felons must apply to the governor, who requires that they have at least a payment plan for court-ordered financial obligations. Senate Republicans insisted on complete restitution payment before they would consider a constitutional amendment automatically restoring voting rights upon the completion of a felony sentence. And those are today's headlines in the KBUR Newsroom. I'm Colin Letty.
This is a Fox News Alert. I'm Lillian Wu. The Democratic race for the White House just now getting even tighter.
Michael Bloomberg has officially suspended his presidential campaign. In addition, we're learning now new information that he is officially endorsing Joe Biden for president in part. Bloomberg saying in a statement 3 months ago, I entered the race for president to defeat Donald Trump. Today, I am leaving the race for the same reason.
Fox's Ed Henry. Bloomberg on the primary ballot for the first time Super Tuesday, winning American Samoa. Bernie Sanders enjoying a strong showing in California, but the former vice president now leads in delegates.
This campaign will send Donald Trump packing.
Not only did Joe Biden take the South, but he took Texas. It is a huge momentum swing for anti-socialism in the Democratic Party.
Fox's Todd Pyro, Elizabeth Warren coming in third in her home state of Massachusetts. This is a Fox News Alert.
Kelly O'Shea's isn't your average pub. Don't believe me? Well, there's nowhere else you can enjoy a friendly, high-energy environment while devouring mouth-watering, heartwarming pub and comfort food. Nowhere else has that same Irish authenticity and jaw-dropping lineup of on-tap specialty beers, liquors and coolers, and ice-cold drinks. And nowhere else can you enjoy the same daily and weekly specials like you can at Kelly O'Shea's. Not your average pub, not the average way. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Sunny today, a high of 51 degrees. We'll see a northwest wind at 5 to 10 becoming southwest this afternoon. Clear tonight, a low back down to 37. A sunny, very breezy Thursday, high of 53 with south winds 10 to 20 becoming northwest in the afternoon, gusting to 30 miles an hour. Partly cloudy and breezy Thursday night, low to 31, northwest winds gusting to 25. Sunny Friday, 47, sunny Saturday, 60, mostly sunny Sunday, 65. Right now, sunny skies, 40 degrees.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Stocks are rallying on Wall Street, although they pulled back just a bit after plunging yesterday. Investors like that moderate Joe Biden had a successful Super Tuesday primary night, and private payroll numbers came in higher. Hiring shows no sign of the coronavirus scare yet. The Moody's survey is backward looking, checking the Dow. It had been up 700 points. It's now up 2%, 535 points. The NASDAQ up 1.5%, up 120 points. And the S&P 500 index up 1.5%. It's up 48 points. Coronavirus fears over drug shortages in the U.S. Many drugs are made not just in China, but in India. And India announced it'll be taking care of itself and its drug needs before shipping anything to the U.S. There are some important antibiotics on the list that may come up short in the U.S. Repeating for you this morning, a rally on Wall Street, the Dow up 530 points.
Can a tree change a life? At Trees for the Future, we believe trees make all the difference in the fight against poverty, hunger, and climate change. Through a proven permaculture method called the Forest Garden Approach, Trees for the Future has positively impacted over 26,000 farmers and their children. Are you ready to leave a lasting impact on the world? Find out how to plant seeds of hope this season at trees.org/radio. That's trees.org/radio.
Hey, Cyber criminals stole the W-2 forms from my friend's company.
Yeah, scammers impersonate CEOs in email and also launch attacks from compromised accounts.
What if they target us?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda Total Email Protection.
So we're secured?
Yes. Barracuda protects businesses of all sizes with artificial intelligence that blocks spear phishing, account takeover attempts, and business email compromise.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
No matter what's going on with the temperature outside, you're going to be fiddling with the temperature inside. And that means messing around with the thermostat. Summertime, you'll need to cool off with some air conditioning. Winter, you're going to need to warm up with some heating. Spring and autumn, it just really depends on the day. But what happens when the temperature doesn't respond like it's supposed to? Maybe the air conditioner goes on the fritz, or the heater just stops. Make sure no matter what's going on outside, you're fine inside. Hi, I'm Bob Jern from Jern Heating and Air Conditioning. The temperature outside may be unpredictable, but with an Amana high-efficiency furnace and air conditioner, the temperature inside will stay just where you want it. For comfortable and consistent temperatures in your home all year round, call Jern Heating and Air Conditioning, your Amana dealer. Serving Southeast Iowa and West Central Illinois. With 24-hour service and never an overtime charge.
Start your day with KBUR.
The morning news.
The weather.
Information you need to start your day.
Instant, up to date.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
Welcome back. Jim Furno and I were just talking about the coronavirus. I had Gina Harden on and also Krista Pogemiller from Des Moines County Public Health. And again, from a standpoint, I guess, from a standpoint of the city's response to dealing with potential and pandemic fears or anything like that, there really isn't. Is there? There's really nothing that the city has that they can do, is there?
Not at this time. You know, something that we monitor. One thing that we've done internally is, I think, something that several businesses have probably done: make sure we got hand sanitizer around, make sure people have Kleenexes, encourage people when they're sick, just be at home.
Yeah.
Don't bring a sickness to work. The same type of things that you think about with flu. It's just a heightened awareness of that, to make sure that we're doing those things. Now, part of though, what happens over time, there are things that potentially do occur, and that's one that is coordinated through public health. Gina, steps that need to happen, and there are steps that places have taken over time. You've seen schools that have been shut down. You've seen different in around the world in different countries, and you've seen things like that. And some of those do involve some city steps to be involved with. So we do have to make sure that we're thinking through those. So there hasn't been anything that's shown that we need to worry about them now, but they certainly could be, depending on what happens over time.
And from you were just talking about technology, I think one of the things, frankly, is we know that we've run a show called The Doug Steffen, a DJV show, and that is run where all of the people are all over the world. Doug has done his show live from Israel, and right now he's in California. And the other people are in Washington and New York and California and beyond, and wherever they go, wherever he goes, he does his show. Mm-hmm. The technology is there for me to actually do my show all from home, basically. If I need a little bit more equipment to be able to do that, but I could do everything that I'm doing pretty much right here, as long as I'd have, you know, we'd have to have somebody would probably have to still do some engineering. But other than that, yeah. So I suppose
you could be like Rush. What you're saying.
In a worst case scenario, yes. Let's say we were just talking about taking a European. We're going to be taking a European tour for a couple of weeks, and the fact that I suppose there's a certain amount of risk, but if you were quarantined, there is the technology is there to be able to operate. Yeah.
So far, the biggest risk that we've seen, if you follow stuff that happens in other parts of the country, I think is in Washington, one fire department has a fourth of their crew that's quarantined. That kind of thing can be problematic, and it's a risk that's out there that those are the kinds of things that I think that are the biggest ones that we have to pay attention to.
I think there is a lot of the unknown, and the fear is something that is driving a lot of things right now. Certainly driving the markets. But regardless, I think the best thing you can do is try to live your life as normally as possible, and wash your hands. Wash your hands and wash them in hot water and soap at least 20 seconds every time you can. And hand sanitizers or whatever. I know that they're going, they've been going quick, and you said you've got a large supply in the city. Is that right?
There's several of them that are around, yeah.
Okay.
People are encouraged to use. So.
Anyway, it is Jim Furno who is joining us. We're talking about things that are going on in the city. We had an incident a couple of weeks ago, well, a few weeks ago, I guess it was, where we had an automobile that crashed through the gates or through the chain link fence, ended up on the Cascade Bridge. We've got a group that is trying to get if I'm correct, they have an engineering study, a privately funded engineering study on what sort of things can or cannot be done with that bridge. I'm guessing, as far as you're concerned, and my understanding talking to John Billups is that, hey, if the city's, if we've got people that are willing to do it something from a private standpoint, they can do whatever they want. Is that right?
Well, I mean, they can do the studies, yeah. We'll have
you'll be curious to see what they find, I'm sure.
Well, they've already presented that. They presented it at the library, or no, up at F&M Bank. I don't know, one of those two.
Okay,
a couple of weeks ago, and they requested to present to the city. I'm not sure that we gave them a date that would work.
Oh, so the engineering study has already been done? Is that what you're saying?
That group?
You don't know.
what they have done, and I guess I didn't go to the presentation that was done. I've seen some of the material from it, and you'd have to talk with them. They did a couple of afternoons that I know of that they were out at the bridge. They looked at a previous engineering study, I think from the
2008. I think it was 2008, wasn't it?
They looked at like the 1980s, somewhere in there. There were some bid specs that were put, some engineering specs that were put together, and they based their cost estimates off of that. And I don't have the year right because this isn't one that I've looked at, but they used an older study that had been done to base a cost estimate for what they project it would take to do the repairs. They are going to present those results or want to at some point in the future to the council. And we talked about suggested to them the March 29, whatever the last work session is in the month. Haven't had word back yet if that one works for them. We'd suggested to them the last work session, the one in February, it wasn't one that they were wanting to present at. But at some point here in the future, that group will make a presentation to the council. The city has hired Impact 7G to do a background evaluation, take a look at some of the different cost studies that have been done or engineering studies have been done, gather public input, present information to the public, we'll take a look at not just the financial, but the environmental side and the historic nature of the bridge.
Right.
They're planning to make a presentation this next work session, March 9.
Now, is there a current or up-to-the-minute or very recent, as in now, engineering study? There so far is no engineering study for right now that has been done. Is that correct?
No. Chuck Britson had done the the last one back in 2012, and it was more an evaluation of older information as well, looking at what rehab costs were, and making a comparison on a net present value for future rehab that would have to be done sooner with a rehab bridge rather than doing a new construction to make a comparison
right.
between the two costs on a life cycle basis. The engineering studies that were done previous to that were like in the 2008 time frame.
Yeah, it was done before that, I believe. 2008 is when they shut down. It was just before that.
Yeah.
2008 was when the actual bridge was shut down.
So those are pieces of information that were evaluated by Impact 7G. They'll be presenting at the next work session and going through. They've also had a survey that they had out there, a little over 600 folks.
This is talking about the Facebook survey, is that
yeah,
right?
They had a little over 600 residents who responded to that survey. Pretty good sample size for our community. They'll present what they gleaned from that to the council, so the council can figure out where do we go based off of what the public input is from the survey.
But in other words, a lot of this is speculation, isn't it?
What do you mean?
I'm talking about I did see the survey, for instance. They talked about a bridge that could be able to handle larger trucks to go across it, and as well as cars. One of their questions.
So one of the questions, the rehab bridge is probably with a 20-ton weight limit versus a new bridge that you could have a higher weight limit on. Now, if you think about what that means, none of our fire trucks would be able to go over a 20-ton weight limit bridge. So if you're looking to be able to provide emergency services over that bridge,
okay, I got you.
You're not going to be able to use it with a rehab structure if you are at that 20-ton weight limit.
What does the fire truck weigh? Do you know?
The heaviest one, 35 tons, the ladder truck.
Okay.
But all of them, all the pumpers are over the 20-ton amount.
Okay, so...
And we saw the same thing happen with Mount Pleasant Street. When we put the weight limit, and I can't remember if it was in the 15-ton area, but when we reduced it to that, we had to find alternative routes for the fire trucks to go over on that too.
Okay, so there's the question. There are still a number of questions that remain, is what you're saying.
Well, the thing is that there are a lot of options, and the survey will present where people fell on it, and there are some things that you can glean out of it, but it's still background information
right.
that you use to help support however you move forward. And I don't know how the council we'll see how the council proceeds with it. They have that study going on again, being presented this next Monday, and encourage people to follow that, and then the other group will be wanting to present information at some point in the future.
All right. Well, we shall await that. But again, what I was getting at was that the engineering study, or I guess an inspection of that bridge in its current state, and then developing an engineering study based on a full inspection of
neither,
that bridge.
No one has done that, and that would be a lot more expensive. But that's part of, if you go forward on a, I mean, you're going to do a tentative cost estimate. They're part of what Impact 7G has done is looked at, I mean, for example, a new construction bridge. One of the comparison points is looking at what Mount Pleasant Street Bridge cost and making some comparisons between those. If you look at a rehab cost, they've looked at what a couple of other bid projects for maybe not, I mean, there aren't, we don't have any similar structures because this is a fairly unique structure, but you can take a look at other metal bridges that have been rehabbed and take in Iowa
go
through a bid process and say how would you make a comparison between them, and they've done some of that to make sure that our numbers in line with what the market is.
There's comparative
yes.
evidence regardless of whether there is specific inspection evidence currently. Okay.
Well,
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Jim Furno after this.
When fans talk about their team, they're always real about it. Really happy after a win. Really bummed after after a loss and really excited about the next big game on the Hawkeye Sports Network.
Iowa travels to Illinois Sunday night with pregame at 5. Brought to you by Bob Dodds Insurance, Reinsmith's Flooring America, the Danville State Savings Bank, and by Standard of Beaverdale on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Richard Broadcasting is a locally owned media and entertainment company specializing in live events, radio, digital, and social media. We provide information and entertainment to the local community and trusted marketing solutions to area businesses. Richard Broadcasting currently has a space available for an account representative, and we're looking for a community-oriented individual to join our sales team. As an account representative for Richard Broadcasting, you will identify and develop new business opportunities to sell radio, digital, and special events to prospective clients. Your goal will be to grow client relationships you create and help our customers achieve their marketing objectives. You will have the opportunity to use your experience to make our customers successful. To be seriously considered for this position, you must be an enthusiastic and hardworking person who thrives in a fast-paced, high-growth, rapidly changing culture and environment. Interested? Send your cover letter and resume to Richard Broadcasting, 610 North 4th Street, Suite 300, Burlington, Iowa, 52601. Or email marketing@burlingtonradio.com. No calls, please. Richard Broadcasting is an equal opportunity employer.
Sometimes your health gives you a scare and causes you to start thinking deeply about the future. At Prue Thielen Funeral Home, our pre-arrangement specialists are here to help give you peace of mind, knowing your final wishes will be carried out the way you want them to be, giving you one less thing to worry about, so you can focus on living your life. Call or stop by for a free personal expressions guide to help you get started. Prue Thielen Funeral Home. Recognizing a life well lived and celebrating memories.
Start your next project today at Menards and save 11% off everything. Put in those new kitchen cabinets you've always wanted and save with 11% off. Insulate your home and save on energy costs. Plus, get 11% off. Add stylish storage to any room with new shelving and save with 11% off now at Menards. 11% off, good through Saturday, March 7th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Big money at Menards. And again, Jim Furno is joining us. We're just talking about Cascade Bridge. The comparison to other bridges, comparison to bids, whatever their bridges have cost, all of those things all have to be weighed in, and then the latest Iowa engineers in Iowa basically follow with the rules, so to speak. The same rules have to apply to all of the processes, is what you're saying.
The hardest part is it's all through a bid process, and you take whatever your lowest responsible bid is, and you make your best guess on what you think that is based off of what the past history has been on bridges in the area, for what contractors you could potentially get in.
And as far as wherever this bridge is going to be on the planning stages or planning or the future plans, that will be based on what evidence or what you see.
Impact 7G, we'll go over a little bit of that too, about what the options are and what kind of, how you can realistically look at what kind of time frames are involved depending on what you're looking to do.
Okay.
The council has done a couple of other things recently. I mean, they had the developer agreement that they approved on Monday night with for the former police department building.
I saw that. Yes. Okay. And the Tama building is.
And the Tama building had approval on that new construction going forward, and for the CWG funding portion of it. And so we're looking at other things that are going on in the community too, and. I think those are going to be some significant things that happen. Y&J with the two properties that they're developing in the downtown area are going to, the first building they're looking to have come online yet before the end of the year. For us, that has an impact over, you know, we had to buy the land from BNSF, and we're probably going to be seeing design work get done for the parking lot there, hopefully construction on that parking occur over the summer. That's one of the things that they're going to need for us to get done. And so we'll also be having discussions begin for a parking agreement between us and Y&J over the next, probably not this next work session, but hopefully the one after that.
And the Tama Building Project, essentially it is a housing project, apartment complex. Is it, I believe, 48 apartments? Is that right?
I think it's smaller than that.
Is it smaller than that? Okay.
He's reduced the footprint. The original rehab was for 48 units. This is, I think, in the 24 upper story units. Overall project, I want to say in the four and a half, maybe $5 million range. There's commercial space on the first floor. He's looking at the original project. He probably won't finish out the majority of that commercial space. He'll finish that out later. But that's looking to get moving forward here in the next couple of months.
Okay. And anything done with Memorial Auditorium is still something that is right now still on the drawing boards. Is that right?
For a future prospective developer, it certainly is. But, you know, the council also approved the renewal of the agreement with Burlington Riverfront Entertainment, which is fairly significant to be able to get...
To operate the auditorium.
A six-year extension. That didn't expire until the end of this calendar year, but as they go to start... I mean, they're getting ready to be booking events that go into the following year, and they want to know where they stand on things.
But the other developer that was looking at doing expanding of the auditorium, the internal structure, also expanding the seating and doing some significant remodeling.
He has a year extension that the council granted him end of January to put together a little bit more detailed proposal for the city to consider. The agreement that was renewed with Burlington Riverfront Entertainment does have some provisions in it that would allow us, if the council were to decide we want to go this other avenue based off of what it does for alterations to the auditorium, potential for hotel or whatever, it does have language within it that would allow the council to move forward with the developer, do something different. With notice to BRE, but it should be noted the council really expressed an awful lot of satisfaction with what BRE, Burlington Riverfront Entertainment, has done over the last couple of years, and they're really happy to move forward with them.
All right. There's lots of things to deal with, lots of things to talk about, and some of those things we're going to find out more about as time goes on, but I guess overall, the budget... The budget deal is waiting for what public opinion, I guess, what the public hearings to. As far as the amount of spending, that's pretty much been settled. Is that right?
Okay. Tentatively.
Okay. Jim Furno, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great Wednesday. Peace Officer Day coming up tomorrow on the talk show.